Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Anita Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 31st, 2016. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 49, the very first paragraph, beginning with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents. Today's readers are going to be Amanda R. on the 12 steps, Rita P. for the 12 traditions, and reading the text for us today will be Kathy K., Nicole F., and Santa H. The reference number for Wednesday, March 30th, 2016, is 8615. 8615. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. Our fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Amanda R. to read our OA 12 steps. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. This is Amanda R. in Maine. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you very much, Amanda R. And I will now ask Rita P. to read the 12 traditions for us. Good morning,
Rita. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is Rita P., compulsive overeater in Arkansas. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Number three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Rita P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are starting off on page 49, the very first paragraph, and Kathy Kay will be reading for us the very first two paragraphs, and she will be commenting on both. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Anita. Thank you for your service, and hello, everybody. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. And this is Kathy Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston. You know, when Anita told me I'd be reading these today, I felt a bit of caution because for so many years, even after coming into the 12-step rooms, I maintained a very strong agnosticism and could not begin to appreciate that people with some sort of faith were living much calmer, stable, and happy lives than I was. I was one of those who held a certain kind of contempt prior to investigation, which they talk about in the spiritual experience in the appendix. And it took me quite a while of reading this over and over again, but more importantly, witnessing in fellow travelers what a faith in a higher power had done for them. I never really identified this sentence, rather vain of us, wasn't it? I did not think of myself as a vain person because I came into the rooms with very low self-esteem. And I just thought I was doing a poor job of managing not only my food, but my life. And so it took a contact with fellow travelers who had defined and found a faith that was what enabled them to live more peacefully and with more meaning before I began to open my heart and my mind to the possibility of a spiritual life. And I'm so grateful today that by engaging with others and by reading this text, I became more open and, in fact, have begun and am on a path to a very strong connection with a higher power. The last thing I'll say is I've always had a capacity to appreciate what people, individuals, do with their faith. I have more trouble with the institutions of religion as we know them today. So I think our paths may be very different. The key, though, is to be open to witnessing and seeing what others with faith have experienced. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy Kay. Who else would like to comment on both or one of these paragraphs?
Charles H.
Charles.
Nessa R. Nessa R.
Nessa R.
Good
Who's the third one, or is that outside noise?
Renata.
Leah M.
This is Larry.
Leah M. And Larry K. All right, Vasa, all right, let's...
Thank you.
All right, we're going to start with Charles H. and then move on to Nessa R. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Anita J. Thank you for your service. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. You know, I noticed that on page 46, 47, 48, and 49 now, we're seeing that word prejudice. And, you know... That word faith, people ordinarily just accommodate that word with religion, and that's not necessarily so. I couldn't see, if seeing was believing, then there would be no need for faith in my life. Faith and hope are good things. You know, I'll give you an example. My wife, I took the day off yesterday because, you know, she's going through something. And, you know, I paid an employee out of my pocket to do that day, do yesterday for me. And she was looking melancholy this morning. I prayed over her. And I said, God, please take away her fears. I wouldn't have done that without program. I wouldn't have done that without the program of action. I wouldn't have cared, right? And then the last thing I said after I prayed over, I said, and by faith, she'll be healed, by faith. And it has nothing, it was spiritual, all spiritual. So I beg of anybody to lay aside religion, because sometimes I don't like religion myself, because you know, I can't, nobody, God can't force me to do anything I don't want to do. I got faith in this program. I got faith in you guys. I hear your voices. I done seen y'all that last weekend in Virginia, and I see the happiness on you, and you still got it. And by faith, the happiness going to grow no matter what. We're going to go through calamities in life. We're going to go through tragedies in life. But by faith, it's going to be all right, right? I got to have that faith and hope, because what would life be without faith? And that's what we agnostics are pretty much talking about. What would life be without faith? It wouldn't be too good, because I think that I need proof. I need visual proof. But we heard yesterday that visual proof is the weakest proof out there. So by faith, I say that you all guys will have a great recovered day, and you will help people, and those people will in turn help other people. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Anita J.
Thank you very much. And before we go on, folks, there's, I think, got to be some people unmuted, because there's a lot of background noise interfering. Not everybody has a nice, loud, clear voice like Charles. So please, everybody, double check, please, that you're muted. Thank you very much. And now, except for Nessa. Nessa, it's your turn, followed by Renata.
Hi, good morning. My name is Nessa R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. When I came into the rooms, I wasn't agnostic, and I actually had quite a strong belief in God. And while in the rooms, I even became more observant of the religious requirements of the religions of my ancestors. But I have no reasonable conception of God whatsoever, nor a logical idea of what life is all about. You know, I thought life was all about getting what I want.
Vanessa, what happened? We've lost you.
Sorry, I got that that recording again. I had no logical idea what life was about. I thought life was about, you know, getting what I wanted. Everybody was out there to serve me, make me happy. You know, I thought that if I had more money, then I'd be happy. If people did what I wanted, I'd be happy. If I had a bigger house, I'd be happy. Everybody was out there to serve me, including God. You know, and my ideas of God were very infantile. You know, it was, you know, making deals with God, like God was my employee. You know, God, if you do this, then I'll do that. Or he was like my sugar daddy, you know, like I've been a good girl, so give me my reward, you know, with my price. And, you know, thanks to the 12 steps, I have been inwardly rearranged, and I've acquired new thoughts and ideas about life and about God. You know, I realize that I am God's servant, and I'm here to do his will, to serve him and serve others. And, you know, what's really interesting and beautiful is that in so doing, I've actually achieved the happiness that I've always wanted, that I've always pursued, trying to get my way. So in abandoning my way and focusing on others and what is needed of me instead of on what I need, I've acquired that which had been so elusive to me before. And that's a gift of this program, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nessa R. And good morning, Renata G. You're up.
Good morning, Anita. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Renata G., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. I want to focus on the first paragraph where it says, you know, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end of all, rather than of us, wasn't it? And, you know, when I came to this program, I believed in God. So, like, I would not even dare to say something like that, that I was the beginning and the end, I was the alpha and the omega. But what were my actions showing, you know? My actions were showing that I got this, I can control this, I can figure it out, and I could not. You know, it occurred to me the other day that the reason why I was so reluctant to embark on this journey with the steps was because it was not my idea. It was something that was presented to me. And all the other schemes that I tried to combat my disease, you know, I thought that I was in control, that it was my idea, that I was going to solve my problem. But when I was presented with the steps, I was defiant, you know. Well, what do you mean I have to do this, you know, these things that this book's telling me? I want to do whatever I want to do. And, you know, where it says, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, meaning, you know, instead
is that your phone or is that somebody has got a music going?
Yeah, there's some music back here. I'll stop.
Oh,
that,
all
Anita.
Right. No. Finish your thought. Please finish
it. It's very loud. I'm sorry.
No, finish your sentence anyway.
Okay. So, you know, I used to say I believe in God, but I did not live my life according to God's will. I went around being dishonest and manipulating and, you know, cheating, trying to get what I wanted from everyone and never even consulting with God. And so by working the steps, I've learned how to live by God's will. And, you know, then today my actions can show that I trust and rely on a higher power and not on myself. With that, I pass. Thanks. Sorry for the noise.
That's all right. That's all right. The message was very good. Thank you, Renata G. And good morning, Leah M. You're up.
Thank you so much, Anita, for your service. We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside old ideas, even against organized religion. Dubious meaning uncertain. You know, step two is a conclusion of our minds coming off of step one, which is powerlessness, you know, left to our own intellect, our own motivation, knowledge, determination, human aid. There was no conquering of the obsession of the mind. So step two is really just a conclusion of the mind. I, of my own power, can't wrestle out of the chains of this disease of compulsive overeating. I like to say, you know, don't worry about taking step two. Let step two take you. That's spoken out of experience. You know, I came here with no spiritual development. I mean, in my family of origin, it was the intellect. It was self-sufficiency. And it was, you know, stand on your own two feet, rule your own destiny, run your own show. And I did exactly that. I ran it into the ground. And it was a little concerning, you know, to let go of my ability to rationalize and, you know, reason and analyze and discriminate and throw myself into the program of recovery, dethrone my intellect and my self-sufficiency that I have been raised with in favor of these steps and these actions that were going to lead me to a place I didn't know existed. However, I saw those in whom the problem had been solved, people of all races, colors, and creeds, and we hear that on the line every day. You know, here on the line, there are men, there are women, some are young, some are older, some are black, some are white. I mean, we wrap the globe, and yet many of us now have a stability, a happiness, a contentment, and a peacefulness that we never had before. So, you know, I don't know about your disease, but, you know, I can tell you about mine. There's only two disciplines for someone like me. That's either the discipline of this disease, which beat me into a bloody pulp, or the discipline of these 12 steps. And if I'm not surrendering to one, then I'm surrendering to the other. So I never had any faith that God could do for me what I could never do for myself. The best I could possibly do is believe that he could do so. Then after taking certain steps, those things began to transpire, and I received that higher power in my life, and then I knew. Then it was an experience that I had, and it was running through my veins, and I can speak about it today, and that was faith. So, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey. Just be open to it. That's all the big book is saying here. It's not attempting to prove to us that there's any kind of God. It doesn't attempt to force any kind of God on us. What it does do is give us some new information in this chapter, and from that new information, hopefully we'll be able to discard some of those old ideas that we might have. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Leah M. And now we'll have Larry K. followed by Latha O. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Anita. Thanks for your service. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, I like what Leah had to say about that. This disease, nobody gets here on a winning streak, right? If you're here and you got here on a winning streak, what are you doing here, right? We all got here to some extent on a losing streak, at least with this particular area in our lives. And you know, in the same manner that I vigorously tried to identify out of being one of you, you know, fellow travelers who had this disease, this twofold nature, this allergy of the body and obsession of the mind, I also tried to identify out of a faith-based life. You know, cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices. And it was, you know, looking back, it was my limited view of what spiritual-minded people were all about. Because, you know, we only see what we look for. We only see what we look for in life. And what was I looking for, you know, in terms of my limited view before? It was, you know, the hypocrisy of people that attended church or temple or mosque or what have you. You know, they'd go and advocate one thing in church, perhaps, and then they go out and live a dishonest, manipulative life. And I saw it in you. I didn't see it in me. People who cheated on their spouse, yet they attend, they go to temple, they go to church. You know, but what did I miss? I missed the God-centered consciousness of people, charitable nature, love, more love and acceptance, greater tolerance. You know, like Leah was saying, there's two paths here for me, okay? There's more disease that's available to me. There's definitely more disease available to me. I know how to do that. I did that extraordinarily well for decades. And then door number two, more recovery through the steps that, for me, lead to a change, lead to a fundamental spiritual change. And that's my choices, you know. There's no door number three. I love when I heard that the first time because it rings true, right? It rings true. There is no door number three. Door number three is death. There is no door number three. More disease, more recovery. What's my choice going to be today? And for me today, by the grace of God, I choose recovery. That's why I'm on the line this morning. So anyways, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Larry K. And good morning, Vasa O. You're up.
Good morning, Anita J. And good morning, everyone. I'm grateful to be here and recovered with everyone else. And I choose recovery myself, because I'd be dead today if I didn't. But I didn't really see myself as a very intelligent person. I had very low self-esteem when I came to the program. But I knew, like, step one was that, you know, I knew that, you know, I was in step one and that the food was going to kill me. And the only requirement that I was needed to have the desire to stop eating. And by then, boy, was I ready to stop eating, because this disease was just going to kill me. So when I came to the program, I was taught to be open-minded and relaxed and listen. And I was not a person that could share anyways, you know. So, you know, my sponsor said, oh, just pass. If you don't want to read the tools, if you don't want to share, just listen. And I felt relieved that I didn't have to do any of those things. You know, for me, it was just listen at the beginning. And I'm so grateful that the first meeting was not in a church, and if it was in a church hall, I probably would have run out. I grew up with a fearful and punishing God and projected the abuse onto God. and I was thought to be self-sufficient. I was thought to be strong, and I should be handling everything myself. And yeah, I was handling myself, but I was falling apart. You know, I couldn't understand the second part of the unmanageability. I understood with the food, I was unmanageable, but with my life, I was keeping everything going on. You know, I had so many hats. But anyways, I'm just so grateful that I have stuck, you know, with the programs and with the steps, one step at a time, the way they laid out. And today, I have a life I never imagined I would have, working through the steps and just having a higher power, which I call God, today, that led me into my Overeaters Anonymous meeting in the first place. So thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you very much, Pastor O. Who else would like to share?
Reva P.
Reva.
Kim G.
Reva. Kim.
Melissa C.
Melissa.
Amy G.
Amy G. All right, let's go with Reva, Kim, Melissa, and Amy G. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. I love how each step propels me to the next one. And I knew that my intelligence was not helping me manage and control my compulsive overeating problem. So it was, in a way, easier to be propelled to step two, where I was able to admit and acknowledge I needed a power that was greater than Reva to help with this problem, because I had tried, and I had tried harder, and I tried harder and harder, and it wasn't working. But what I'm realizing and learning so much as we read this chapter about we agnostics, without knowledge that a power greater than myself can do things in my life that in my wildest dreams I could never do. And this practical program of action, very practical. So I have a really challenging case in my work. And, you know, my intelligence, I love analyzing and trying to figure out. Like, I can do the step work. I can say I'm abstinent and, you know, do the step work over here. But then in this case, I'm just going to, you know, read the literature and I'm going to figure this one out, because I need to analyze. And if I analyze hard enough, I'll get the answer. And that's what got me to step one with the food. So thank you, God. It doesn't work. It's broken. Like, I can't do that anymore. And it's just mind-boggling that, you know, each practical situation, I don't know when I go into it, but if I submit and I surrender to this power greater than myself, I get propelled from one to two through the rest of the steps, and it's so backwards of what I think. I think I have to effort and think my way into things, but I don't. I have to surrender and let this power lead me to things, and then I have a reasonable conception of what to do, a logical, really logical and sane way of acting and behaving and working with the people that I have been led to, you know, be useful to. And it's just an amazing, wonderful paradox. And all I have to do is say, I don't know, and realize that my way isn't working. So I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but with that, I pass. Thank you.
Makes sense to me. Thank you very much, Reva P. And Kim G., good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. Oh, love this. We have observed that many spiritual-minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability and happiness and usefulness, which we have we have sought ourselves. So I love the words observe, demonstrating, and sought. You know, demonstrating is a big word for me. You know, Leia had stressed the idea of people in whom the problem had been solved. And that was huge for me. You know, people who was walking the walk, not just talking the talk. You know, I remember being at a workshop a couple years ago and a woman was leading it and she was morbidly obese. And she said that her current abstinence was 90 days. And she's had 4 breaks in her abstinence over the last 20 years. So basically she'd been abstinent for 20 years. And my jaw just dropped to the ground. And I have to tell you, she knew this big book inside and out. Inside and out. You know, chapter and verse. But it was obvious that it was words to her. She wasn't demonstrating, not just by her body size, but by her mannerisms. It was so much self-will. You know, we hear on page 58, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. You know, my experience is rarely have I seen a person thoroughly follow the path. So I'm looking for someone not only that has been in Overeaters Anonymous for decades, not only can quote this book, but are they demonstrating these principles? Are they living these principles? And I used a simple analogy. One of the gifts I got when I lost my weight is I learned how to ski. So if I'm up in Vermont, which is my favorite area to ski, specifically Mount Snow, and I look for a ski instructor, and they tell me all these degrees they have, all these certifications they have, and I say to them, well, what mountains have you skied? Oh, no. I haven't actually skied. Look at all these certificates that I got. Do you think I'm going to trust that person to put 2 popsicle sticks on my leg and have them teach me to do something they've never physically done but they've read about? Absolutely not. So I have to look for people in whom the problem had been solved who have walked this dubious path. And I have to seek that same experience. I have to seek that, you know, which means I have to do the work. You know, I was talking with someone last night and I was really struck with what we were talking about because I cannot stay sober on someone else's experience. I love podcasts. I love A Vision for You, but I can listen to this 24/7. I can't stay sober off of what Larry and Leia and Reva and Vasa said today. I have to demonstrate. I have to put these into practice. I have to seek this with the desperation of a drowning man. And until I do that, I am just going to be, I don't know, I'm at my 3 minutes, but I need to observe, demonstrate, and seek on a daily basis. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kim G. And good morning, Melissa C.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, it just strikes me as I listen to this that, you know, so much of this recovery for me is about shedding my prejudices. You know, if you would have asked me just this morning before this meeting, am I prejudiced? You know, do I have a closed mind to things? I would have told you, no way. I am so open-minded. And yet, as I'm listening, you know, I'm discovering that even today, being recovered, there's parts of me that are closed off and prejudiced. And, you know, I grew up in an observant household. I didn't seem to hear God mentioned much. I seem to miss the spirituality. However, my siblings all grew up and continued to, you know, in the religious practice, and their lives seemed pretty, you know, happy to me. I've been making judgments about them, their imperfections, and their spiritual life. And as I'm listening this morning, I realize, you know, there's a defect that's popping up right here that I didn't know. And because my mind has been looking at their imperfections and questioning somehow that they're not spiritual. You know, just because they haven't necessarily sat me down and discussed their deep feelings about their God, of their understanding, doesn't mean they're not having a spiritual experience. And, you know, and so I know that my head, as I'm working, you know, this recovered life and continuing in the steps, that this is an area that I need to grow in, that to not judge other people's religious practices, other people's spiritual life, I know that today I am having a relationship with a higher power that I did not have before, that did not seem to be available to me through those religious practices. But that doesn't mean that that doesn't work for other people. And I'm just grateful to know that today, to have acceptance for everybody in their own spiritual journey. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa C. And good morning, Amy G. You're up.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Awesome meeting. You know, it says in the paragraph, we beg of you to lay aside prejudice. And I know some other places where it says we beg of you, like in How It Works, it says that some of these steps we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. And, when someone's begging me to do something, that means like, hey, guys, heads up, this is something big deal here. We really have to wrap our brains and our minds and our hearts around this issue of step two and then on to step three. This whole idea of lack of power being our dilemma and, believing in a power greater than ourselves, whatever that conception may be. And I love what it says here. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. And like others have said, I was very focused on, for example, once I became entrenched in my agnosticism, all I focused on were reasons that confirmed and validated and grew and further entrenched my agnosticism. But beaten and pummeled by this disease, I really did. I had two choices. Was I going to, as others said, identify in, or was I going to identify out? I spent almost 5 years in Overeaters Anonymous balking about this whole God issue. And I remember someone saying to me, and it was somewhat harsh, but boy, did it wake me up. They were begging me, and they said, look, if your way is working so well, why are you here? And I couldn't deny that. And I remember when I went to my first meeting where I saw truly recovered people from all walks of life that talked about in this paragraph, races, creeds, and colors, and they had a peace and serenity in their eyes that said that merciless obsession had been relieved, that they no longer were not only not putting binge foods in their mouth, but they had peace and serenity and contentment. They had been equipped with a way of living that allowed them joy, peace, happiness, a way to deal with difficulty and crisis in life. It was hard for me to deny that as long as I could just open my mind a little bit and be willing. And boy, did the disease make me willing. Pain of discipline or pain of regret. I had to be willing to take some action. Somewhere in the book it quotes, it's either 12 and 12 or the big book. I couldn't find it looking before I was called to speak. But, ignorance is what they call contempt prior to investigation. I can no longer look at those in whom the problem had solved and remain ignorant. I wanted what they had desperately, desperately. I wanted what they had. And I had to be willing to keep my mind open, to surrender to the program, to take instructions, and to work this program like my life is dependent upon it. That's all I needed. I didn't need to focus on all the minutiae. I just needed to look at in whom the problem had been solved and take instruction. And from there, my faith grew. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Amy G. And now I'm going to ask Nicole S. to read the very first paragraph on page 50. Good morning, Nicole.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in Colorado. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. And I can really relate to the part that missing the beauty of the forest because I was diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. And I can so easily look at the faults of other people and completely miss my faults. I'm not staying on my side of the street. And I can have, just actions of one person that I'm basically being judgmental of and not accepting of them, and it can ruin my whole view of the reality in front of me and the beauty right in front of me. And it's kind of reminds me, I live in a beautiful mountainous area with, you know, the forest and lots of pretty trees and mountains in the background, and sometimes I can get so frustrated because someone's driving on our dirt road too fast, and I can be judgmental and I can just ignore all the beauty around me because I'm judging somebody for driving too fast on my road and getting frustrated, and I can stay stuck in that moment. And this just shows me so much of being tolerant of others' viewpoints and to realize that my viewpoints are not, it's what I believe in and what I think of, but they're not necessarily right, and they're not necessarily right for other people. And so this gives me just a really good reminder of being tolerant of others' viewpoints and also to not let others' viewpoints hinder my growth and destroy my view of the beauty in front of me, and so much to focus on what I have that I should be grateful for, instead of focusing on the negative things, focusing on the positive things. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Nicole S. And who would like to comment? Please, folks.
Lindy S. from upstate New York, please.
Would somebody please stop the music? Hello? Bless you, whoever you are. Wendy F., and who else?
Charmaine, North Carolina.
Charmaine, North Carolina. And let's try for two more.
Sally.
Rosemary, New Hampshire.
Wait. There was a voice before you. From who was that? There was
Sally.
Yeah,
Rosemary. I'm sorry, Anita.
No, I've got you, kid. Oh, please. Who is that with the music? Please, can you please stop that?
I'm gonna mute the line.
Oh, thank you.
Rosemary in New Hampshire.
Sarah W.
Rosemary, New Hampshire. We were just waiting a moment for Anita.
Anita J., we're looking for you. Who was first
and
up?
I sent such words
there you
in
go.
Here.
There you go.
Yes, please. Wendy, please go ahead. Wendy.
I hope you can hear me okay. Thanks. This is Wendy F., a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from upstate New York. And partly I just want to share, because I've been listening, but I haven't shared in a long time. I just want to, you know, say that I'm a compulsive overeater in need program and other compulsive overeaters to recover. And I think that this step is so important. But when I think about the reading and what people have shared and what they're sharing, it, I don't know how to confine it to kind of this step, because I think it underlies everything. And it's so important to have this openness to some kind of spiritual approach. I feel like right now I'm doing a lot of 6 and 7, and when I look at the alternative to practicing my character defect, I don't know how to do it differently. I don't know how to be different, but I do have some experience now in being spiritually open to my higher power. And I really like what was said about being able to accept and look at positives along with the negatives. I really, a huge character defect of mine is to focus very strongly on the negatives and live in it. And it's not what I want, and it's not what I want to be. And while I don't have an alternative to that, I do have the option of being open to my higher power. And that's really important to me. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lindy. Charmaine, what is the first initial of your last name from North Carolina? You're up. Charmaine? Well, then let's move on to Sally.
Good morning. Is she here?
Yeah. I'm not sure. You are here. Okay, great. Go ahead, Charmaine. And what was the initial of your last name?
It's P as in Peter.
P as in teacher. All right, thank you.
No, P as in Paul, P.
Oh.
Thank you for letting me share. I'm a newcomer, and I think I'm probably between 5 and 6 meetings, and I'm very grateful for the vision of you and wonderfully read today the We Agnostics and the more in-depth journey I take to try to recover and understand the recovery material and the principles. And it's just so, I'm like, wow, it's just the sanity, it's beginning to be welcome and embraced. And I'm really beginning to accept that, even with starting with step one, being powerless and really seeing that it was out of control. And I don't know how many times my higher power was trying to get my attention to show me, oh, how rageful, how prideful I was, and how just, you know, trying to do it my way. And I was just still in the driver's seat, and I was just saying, heck no, I'm not. I'm not giving this over. But the more I grew in my ego, and it took me further from the space I needed to be with reality. And I don't really know how to explain that. It's just, you know, how do I fix my life? You know, it was broken in so many million of pieces. And I too came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and without God and without intimacy and staying consciously awake, connecting with Him through my weaknesses, because I don't want to do this alone. I'm like a child saying, I don't want to go by myself. And I look for my spiritual parent. I look for my guidance from Him, who I choose to call God. And with great intentions, I hope to turn this will over to Him in step three. And with that, I'll just pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm hoping maybe I could get Sally and Rosemary in if you both aren't too long. Please go ahead, Sally.
Thank you. Good morning, A Vision for You. And this paragraph that we're reading on the top of page 50, instead we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. This reminds me of the top of page 11 in Bill's story, page 11, where he says, "To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man not too closely followed." And those are the key words, not too closely followed. So he's judging how they follow their Christian experience. But then he goes on to say, his moral teaching most excellent for myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult. The rest I disregarded. And so he gives us here on page 50 another. He's just so brutally honest with himself. That's what I love about Bill. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. And so what I think you're trying to say to us here is, again, making another passionate plea to lay aside prejudice and pride and thinking that we have a corner on our religious experience when we see in these rooms right here on A Vision for You and in OA in some rooms, we see this beautiful tapestry of different people with different roads that lead to a relationship. And that's what this is all about, finding a relationship with my own higher power that works. Thanks for letting me share with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. And Rosemary, can you?
I'll make it quick.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rosemary from New Hampshire. This is my 14th day, the beginning of my 14th day of an abstinence. I am so grateful. And I didn't think I'd be speaking, but I have to just sort of say that I am very grateful. I've been in a long relapse coming out of it and bringing to it, just realizing, oh, just get out of my way. I tried to think my way into abstinence. I tried it. I tried everything, just sort of like just getting out of my own way, giving it over, whether I believe in a higher power, whether I don't, just following directions and just listening and doing what the person who I've chosen to be a sponsor says to do, what I hear people say, just not doing it my way. I'm a visual person. I kind of been on the phone thinking, God, all those words, sick, ill, I'm a bulimic, intolerant. Take the I out of it, and the words have no power. They crumble. So I kind of like that. I like visualizing, taking the I out of a lot of those words. All I'm doing today is deciding to turn my will over. I do believe, because I have been saved before and I know the experience, so I do believe in a higher power, because it wasn't me. My best thinking got me into trouble, and that saying, you know, I don't go into my head alone. You know, it's a bad neighborhood. I always take somebody with me. And with that, I just want to say thank you for all being here. I'm very grateful. And I'm very grateful that I've got this today. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rosemary, what's the first initial of your last name?
W.
I think, are you on the registry? Are you registered?
No, it's not working. I have to figure that out, and I will. I'll try to figure that out. But yeah.
Give me your phone number here, Rosemary.
It's 603-318-9449.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, folks. I'm sorry I did that. I guess that should not have been on the recording. That was a no-no. And I just want to say to you folks, thank you very much. And we're now going to end, as we always do, with somebody reading A Vision for You. And this morning it's Santa H. Good morning.
Good morning, Anita. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, family. Thank everyone else on the line. My name is Santa H., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater just for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who was still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.